Oh, hey, Sam.
Oh, hello, Simon. Look at your cute
How
face.
How are ya?
I'm cute. Pretty good. I'm pretty good. I'm recovering from a cold, so I'm kind of annoyed at my immune system, but generally okay. Yeah. Nose indeed. Nose has been featuring prominently in my life.
Hey, man. Generally okay is more than what many can ask for at the moment, apparently. If Twitter's, I'm sorry, X is anything to go by.
Well, isn't Cape Town like in the middle of a hurricane? Like,
yeah, dude. Trucks are blowing off bridges. Farms are burning down.
Wild.
It's wild and chaotic. Actually, it's, you know, as with anything in the news, that's 1% of what's going on. It's just really rainy and windy for the most part.
No. This is one of the funniest things about moving to the UK is there can be like, I don't know, a tiny little 1 kilometer an hour gust of wind, and they call it a named storm. They're like, oh, it's Storm Henry is battering the place, and two people's dustbins were bumped over. Everyone hunkered down. I'm like, oh, come on, go to Fredahook for like a day. You'll die.
Listen, UK storm TikTok is one of my favorite things. It gets very poetic. Just like watching a black garbage bin dancing around in the wind for 2 minutes.
It's like, oh, cute man. They just can't cope.
Storm Henry V has swept yet another garbage disposal unit into the atmosphere.
So cute.
Yeah. So you've been solving problems since I last spoke to you.
Simon, I really liked this challenge. This one was a good one. So you challenged me. So remind me exactly what the parameters were, but I think you challenged me to buy an object that solves a problem in my life, and the object had to cost less than $50. Is that right?
I think I challenged you to solve a problem you had that could be solved for under $50. It didn't have to be monetary, because that wouldn't be cool. But like, if you were going to solve it with time, you'd have to convince me that the time was less than $50 in value, which, as we all know, you're very special and important, and your time is far more expensive than that. So this is like, we're talking seconds of Sam time here.
Well, I mean, I think that was a fascinating constraint, right? Because I think I ended up just kind of trying to frame this as I need to solve this problem by buying something, because I think as a person, I always have the tendency to rather spend 18 hours kind of hacking something together. And I think as a person, I have the tendency to not value my own time at all, in a way that I, you know, generally I think is a good thing for me, right? Like I kind of, because I like doing things, and I like spending, I don't know, 8 hours making very overcomplicated bread. Like I'm on board with that. And I struggle to buy things. So I took it as a challenge to buy something that would solve a problem.
Okay.
Which was cool. Fun.
I like that interpretation.
Yeah. Yeah. But it kind
of.
So
what problem did you solve?
Oh my goodness. So I did buy something. Well, in fact, I actually went through several iterations of. So I ended up spending more than $50 on failed experiments where I was like,
fail.
But I persevered until I bought something that was incredibly cheap that has meaningfully solved a problem in my life.
Okay.
But I'll get there. I'll take you on the whole journey, right? So the first category of things that I considered buying were redundancies, basically. So I realized that there's actually a whole bunch of small but noticeable niggles or irritations or points of friction in my life that are caused by only having one of something. And so the particular thing first that came up was my earpods. So I walk around, I live in London, so I spend like, I don't know, 2 hours a day just walking around the city. And having earpods makes a huge difference in my day-to-day kind of happiness, because I'd much rather listen to something through my earpods than listening to people with mental health problems screaming on the train. So having earpods is great. I only have one set of earpods, and half the time they're charging or they're like not exactly by my keys. So I just don't have them like half the time. And it just occurred to me, you know, I could actually just buy a second set of earpods and then always have a charged set of earpods. And obviously that feels like very wrong and bad because it's wasteful, you know? So I thought about it, didn't do it. I also thought on the same vein, I could really just do with like an extra iPhone charger. You know, it's all these kind of little things where I'm like, it's not about owning the thing or having the thing. Sometimes it's about having the thing at the right time means it's helpful for you or it's not helpful for you. And one of the ways you can achieve just always having the thing is to just have more of the things, which is how I treat pens, right? Like, I can't be a person who has one fancy pen. I'm a person who has 700 pens. There's a pen in every pocket of every garment that I have, basically. So I always have a pen. And I was like, I could actually just apply that same principle to more things. Anyway, thought about that, ended up not doing that. Then I went down this whole other rabbit hole of, you know, there's like all these innovation products. So you're like, this is the category of like Instagram ads. Like, it never occurred to me that this was a problem that was fixable, but actually science has maybe created a thing that can fix this problem. And I did buy actually a whole bunch of these things. These were mostly hair related things. This is kind of incredibly shallow, girly nonsense. But since moving to the UK, the water is obviously full of limescale here. So my hair has been very frizzy, which is not a problem actually, but it is a problem at the same time. And every time I go on Instagram, I'm just bombarded with like 37 magical hair products that'll like soften your water or whatever. And they all seem magical and they all have, you know, videos of absolutely, totally legitimate real people, definitely not being paid, who, you know, show themselves using the fancy hair bonnet or the fancy hairbrush or whatever. And oh, look, their hair is magic. So I was like, you know, I always ignore these things. I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to buy a couple of these random highly lauded Instagram products. Guess what, Simon? They were all duds.
But, all trash, you know, on Instagram. Who would have guessed?
Who would have guessed? But I did try. I bought some Olaplex. I bought a hair bonnet. I borrowed a Revlon round brushy thing. I didn't actually buy that one. But I borrowed it as a trial. All disasters. Total disasters. Total waste. So those were my duds. Then... I spent a lot of time thinking about this. Let's not count up the time.
Okay, wait. Let's pause there for a moment. Okay.
Yeah.
Firstly, I think it's adorable that they call them AirPods when the name is AirPods, trademark 2022 Apple Inc. Thirdly, I don't think you can buy a pair of official AirPods for anything less than $250 at the cheapest end. Fun factoid. Did you know that if Apple spun that out as an individual business, it would be one of the 20th biggest tech businesses in the world? AirPods alone did $8 billion in revenue in like 2022 or whenever it was. And finally, before you carry on, I'm going to let you finish, but your hair is looking incredible. I was going to say something when you got on the call. I was like, we don't record video for the show, but I'm rethinking it after seeing your hair because I don't know what trash you bought on Instagram, but something's working.
People don't even know. Okay, well, I'll circle back around to the hair question.
Okay.
Just to defend myself.
Those were my bullet points. Continue.
Thank you. But to defend myself on the AirPods question or EarPods, whatever the heck you're calling them.
They should be called EarPods.
I don't have official ones. I have cheap knockoff ones, obviously. So I call them EarPods because they are pods that go in my ears. And obviously, I'm not going to buy the official Apple ones. But okay, let's acknowledge that maybe the reason that my EarPods only last 2 days before needing to be charged is because they are the $20 knockoff ones. Anyway, sorry. So that's a whole roundabout. Okay, the hair thing though, coming back to the hair thing, because I think this is a very good one. So I went down this huge rabbit hole of like, I'm going to solve my hair problem. And this did also involve infinite hours kind of hyper-focusing on weird rabbit holes on the internet of like, here's the curly girl method or the straight girl method or the whatever method and the 35 products that this one influencer recommends and they're different to the 35 products the other influencer recommends. Tried all of them. You know, nothing really made a huge difference. And then I thought about this some more and I was like, you know, honestly, whether my hair is like slightly frizzy or slightly smooth doesn't make a huge difference. What does make a big difference sometimes is actually just, do I have a fringe? And I haven't had a fringe for a long time. So I picked up my pair of kitchen scissors and I cut a fringe. And you know what? My hair looks damn cute again. Problem solved. Required zero products. Yes, it does. Thank you for noticing.
Is this your answer to our challenge? You cut yourself a fringe.
No, there's more. Simon, yay. I thought about this challenge. for ages. Okay, so basically that was like the second rabbit hole. I was like, okay, the thing I'm going to do is I'm going to solve my hair problem rabbit hole, and then I will be able to say, okay, the one true product is this. No luck. Then, okay, so I was like, I'm going to think about this problem in an entirely different way. I've thought about redundancies. I've thought about like, okay, innovative gadget, whatever it is. What about the category of things of, can I buy a short-term fix to a long-term problem? So a lot of the irritations in my life right now are to do with the fact that we bought a 150-year-old flat, right? And we are very slowly, as we're saving up room by room, doing an enormous amount of the work ourselves. We're fixing the flat up and making it nice. But, you know, we've already lived in the flat for a year, and realistically, it's going to take another 2 years before we've kind of gotten to everything. And in the meantime, there are entire areas of the flat that are just an absolute mess and very irritating in kind of small ways that affect your day-to-day life, right? You know, there's places where like there's no light switch in my entrance hall, for example. It's very irritating. So when you come in, it's dark, and then you have to kind of walk a few meters before you can turn the light on because it was badly designed. Uh-huh. And these are all the things where in the long run, I'm going to rewire the room, but in the short term, can I buy a little like touch lamp with a battery, you know? And I've resisted doing that because I'm like, I don't want to buy a short-term fix when I'd rather solve the problem in the long run. But I was thinking, actually, if I add up the kind of minutes of minor irritation that, you know, those two, I might accrue over those 2 years before I do that, maybe it's actually worth me freaking buying a little touch light or whatever. So that was kind of a useful whole area to think about. The one, this is a, can I overshare? Can I totally overshare? It's going to be disgusting.
I don't know. This is up to you.
You and anyone else listening to this on the internet. The one problem that has been the most annoying thing in my flat is it is 150 years old, and the plumbing is not quite 150 year old, but it's not much younger than that. And so we have probably the weakest toilet flush.
I was going to ask you, are you still pooping in a bucket and throwing it out the window like the days of yore in England?
I wish we had an outhouse. I wish we had a chamber pot. It would be simpler to deal with. It's honestly the number of times people have come over to my house and have sheepishly come out of the bathroom, flushed bright red, and said, "I'm so sorry. I have a problem in the bathroom. It's all plugged anyway, all clogged." So it's sort of like. So again, in the long run, we have to entirely replumb our bathroom because we've had a plumber in to look at it. It's that the whole thing needs to be totally redone, including like ripping up all the way to like the big waste pipe, whatever. That's not a thing I can afford to do right at this minute. So I went down this whole rabbit hole of like, is there a short-term fix to the problem? And the one thing that I really considered doing, and I asked a few friends because I told a few friends about this challenge you'd given me, and I was like, okay, I've got it. I know the thing I'm going to buy that'll cost less than $50 that will dramatically improve the quality of my life. I'm going to buy a poop spatula. I'm going to buy a spatula.
That's not the answer I was expecting. This is like a scene from Colin from Accounts. Have you seen Colin from Accounts?
Yes, I love that show so much. It's so good.
So but anybody scene, who's seen it knows what I'm talking about. But yeah.
But please explain it. Please explain the scene.
I will. Well, there's a scene with, I mean, you have to kind of have watched the show with these two awkward humans that have just met each other. And the one is looking after the other's house and the toilet is blocked up. And she makes a poopy in the toilet and then realizes it's blocked and just has nothing to do with the poop except throw it out the window. And then, I mean, I don't want to ruin the how this all culminates for anybody who hasn't seen the show. But if you haven't seen Colin from Accounts, it's delightful. It's Australian. It's very good. Yeah. I think it's on Amazon Prime. Go and watch it. But we digress. Your poop spatula. I don't like where this is going, especially because I'm planning to come to England and visit you when I can.
I will tell you what I tell everyone. Poop before you come.
Sure. I mean that in isolation. Okay.
Anyway, so all right. Sorry. Not to I decided not to do that because I was like, oh, I don't want to come on the podcast to talk about poop spatulas, which I have now done. Anyway, but I decided not that. So the last, okay, then now I will get to what I finally bought. The last thing, after going through all of these different categories, I was like, I am way overthinking this. I need to really bring it back to what are the problems that actually matter in your life, right? Because, and I think this was the problem with the whole thinking, hyper-obsessing about my hair rabbit hole, is if you look for problems in any area of your life, you'll find problems. And that kind of actually makes you more irritated than you would have been. Like, it degrades your quality of life.
So, I'd agree. I still want to hear more about this poop spatula. How does this work? You live in a first world country. Your house is older than my entire state that I reside in. Okay.
Yeah,
the answer to plumbing that isn't functional can't be a poop spatula.
Well, you've described it as, you know, you've got a window, you've got a catapult. No, it's not the answer. No, it's
maybe
not the answer.
I don't want to know more.
No, it's just to kind of like, sometimes it needs a bit of help getting down there because the flush is not working. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say actually about the poop spatula. What I will say is, okay, I then went back to the question of like, what are the areas of your life that probably make the biggest impact on your happiness? And if I solve a small problem in a significant area of my life, that'll probably make a larger impact on my overall happiness than solving, is my hair frizzy, right? Mm-hmm. So then I was sitting down and I was like, what are the basic things that determine, do I have a good day or do I not have a good day? And the big ones are like, do I get outside and see some sun? Do I move my body a little bit? And a big one, did I sleep okay? So then I was like, is there a thing I can buy that will actually improve the quality of my sleep in any way? Or is that similarly a rabbit hole like the hair problem, where like this isn't something you can actually buy your way out of? You actually need to do different things and change your habits. But actually, one of the things I have been really struggling with is I, my entire life, have woken up with the sunlight because I come from farming people. And, you know, you wake up when the sun rises so that you can get out and you can feed the chickens or whatever. I can't do that in the UK because at the moment it's not too bad. The sun rises at like 6 and sets at like 8 at the moment. But 2 months ago, the sun was rising at 8 a.m. and it was setting at 4. And in a couple of months' time, the sun is going to be rising at 3:45 and setting at 11.
Well, rising being a highly subjective term, because can you tell that it's risen? Sometimes.
No, it's going to sort of like gently float up through the haze, you know. So I noticed, I was when I decided, okay, I'm going to focus on this area and look for problems, I started just observing how I was sleeping. And I noticed that one of the things that was happening, because I now have blackout curtains for the first time in my life, this thing was happening where I was waking up and my brain was not sure what time it was. And so my brain started going like, oh, okay, wake up time, la la la, it's probably around 6, because I always sort of wake up naturally at around 6. Let me start, you know, thinking about my day or whatever. And then I would do that for like 10 minutes, still lying there in that sort of half awake place. And then by the time I would finally like actually check what the time is on my phone, I would realize, oh, it's actually 2 in the morning, and now I'm like uncomfortably awake. And so, Simon, after all of this, the thing that I bought, it cost me £5. I bought a glow in the dark clock for next to my bed. And
nice.
it has honestly improved the quality of my life by like, I'd say a good 5%, because about once every 5 days, I was waking up at 2 in the morning and not being able to go back to sleep. And that messed me up for the entire day. And that is no longer happening. So there we go.
Now you see the time and you're like, no, brain.
Yeah.
We are not a polyphasic Hemingway sleeper. I am going to fucking sleep. Deal with it.
Exactly. It's sleep time. Yes. Okay. So that is my whole journey.
How much was this clock?
£5.
£5.
And the funny thing is, it looks exactly like the little clock that like I remember my mum had in like the 70s, you know, just the two little glow in the dark hands. It's like incredibly simple, but it has honestly improved my quality of life enormously.
Perfect.
I'm so pleased.
I love
I'm
it.
So pleased with it. And I would never have bought it had you not given me that challenge, because I would never have, I don't know, just like interrogated what are the small friction points in my day that are actually fixable.
I mean, it sounds like I sent you on quite a journey. There's a reason why it's been months since we recorded our last episode while you resolved this But hey, you've got great hair and you're sleeping better. And you apparently know? Your guests are no longer as embarrassed coming out of your bathroom.
Or they're more embarrassed. Or they're very baffled when they walk in there and they're like, Sam, why is there a spatula in your bathroom?
I mean, I always assumed that that was the quasi job of the toilet brush, but I don't know. Never having dealt with 150-year-old plumbing myself.
It's bad. It's really bad. But anyway, it has been a journey. Yeah.
I love that.
Just like I think what was great about it was a wonderful prompt to just observe the friction points in my life.
Well, that's exactly where I was coming from. That's what inspired this challenge is. So I rent a flat in a really old building, as you know, not quite as old as yours. Like it was practically built yesterday compared to yours, apparently. But I've got this garage for my car, which is super old. And long story short, landlords refuse to put in electricity, etc. The only way to get this garage door open is manually, which is fine because most days that's the only exercise I'm going to get. Fine. But I've got a lock on this garage that's been on there forever. And every time I go and get my car out, this lock is like old and rusted and you need two hands to lock or unlock it. Like it used to just push closed. You can't do that anymore. You need to put the key in, turn it, like push it with two hands. I've always got shopping or something else that I'm carrying. I have to put everything down to lock the goddamn garage. This lock gets stuck every time I unlock it. And I think it was the same week we recorded where I gave you this challenge. I was trying to lock this lock and I just put down like, I don't know, 400 kilograms of shopping. And I was like, wait a minute, new locks cost less than
much. Why am I living like this?
And I'm spending all day thinking about the big problems in inverted commas, like how am I going to pay for this? And what are we going to do about global warming? And how can we resolve the situation in Ukraine? And, you know, obviously distilled down to my own life as well. And then there's these little friction points, and I love that word because that's kind of the word that I had in my mind as well, like friction in my life that I could just like literally solve in 5 seconds with the change in my pocket. And I'm like, why aren't I doing these things? Because added up, if you start like finding these little friction points you have throughout the day, and it could be as simple as like, hey, I've sent the same email 50 times. Let's make a template so that I can just like do two clicks and insert it into future emails or change the goddamn lock on my garage or buy a poop spatula. Like there's all these little things that cumulatively would make such a big difference. And I'm not worrying about them because I'm too busy thinking about all of these massive problems that need to be solved, which honestly probably can't be. Maybe I need to make peace with them. This is a completely different discussion. But that's sort of what inspired this challenge was trying to find those things. And then like just for fun, putting a limit on it to go like, okay, $50, what can be solved for less than $50? Because realistically, you know, like it doesn't matter what day of the month it is, I could probably find $50 to solve a problem with. Yeah. And so that's where it came from.
No, I love that. And I think if I kind of try and draw lessons for myself out of this experience, like I think one of them is something that you use every single day, that's probably worth kind of upgrading if you can. Because I think it's also worth thinking about why do we choose to not spend money on things or not buy things? And I think one of the reasons that I have a general kind of resistance to spending money is that usually it just isn't a very effective way to actually solve problems, right? Like very often, you know, you end up buying, like, you know, it's the very mark product problem of like, you know, this product will solve my problem. And most of the time it actually just doesn't. Like it's creating clutter and space and it's creating new problems. You have a new problem, which is where am I going to store this thing or whatever? Or, you know, I need better AirPods. I don't know. I need better AirPods, but actually my little knockoff ones, maybe they're as good, but I don't know. As discussed, maybe they're not. Maybe I actually should buy proper ones that keep their charge for 5 days. Who knows? But, you know, so what are the kind of, can you find heuristics for the things that actually are worth spending money on? And I think like daily irritation is definitely one, the daily use things. Or as I said, kind of like bringing it down to like, what are the things that hit me lowest on Maslow's hierarchy? And not sleeping is kind of very foundational. So, you know, or if buying, I don't know, cute workout clothes is going to make you exercise one more time a week than you would. That's probably also a worthwhile investment, you know?
Mm. Well, yeah, what exactly. Worthwhile investment. They're things that are worth spending on, and sleep is everything. So, you know, even if it's a, you know, away from the $50 discussion, if it's a new bed, we'll spend so much money on something like a car, depending where you live. And, you know, the quantitative difference between a Toyota Corolla and a Porsche is not that vast, depending on, you know, your priorities. But for most people, like, it's going to get you from A to B. And in fact, the cheaper one may do it more reliably in the long term. And it's like, we'll deliberate over that and easily spend more money. Whereas buying a really expensive bed feels like a waste of money. Whereas that is substantively a better purchase, because its addition to your quality of life is going to be that much more than, let's face it, a status symbol that goes slightly faster than the other thing that costs a fraction of the price. And so, yeah, just be like, and I guess your AirPods are a good example, because had you bought actual AirPods, they probably would have lasted you 8 times longer. And if you lost them, you could find them on Find My Phone, or Find My Things, or whatever it's called. Find My, I think it's just called Find My. But so, like, there are those things where it just does make sense to spend a little bit more. But most of everything else, as you said, is like, I don't need this thing. I haven't identified a friction point that this unlocks. It's just a thing that came into my world via Instagram that I now am convinced I need and didn't know existed 5 minutes ago.
No, exactly. Like, the advertising has created the problem in my mind, right? And can you kind of differentiate that, where, you know, it is the problem actually does exist in your world? It's kind of interesting.
Up against the algorithms of Temu that will convince you that there are at least 1,000 areas of your life with unresolved problems.
Exactly. It was kind of fun to just actually give myself into the algorithm for a bit as well. I was just like, okay, Temu, show me what you got. It's got some weird good stuff. Because you also get to a really interesting point, which is just that the value that something gives to your life is so seldom correlated to the cost of something, you know, like the value that you get from that, I don't know, 50 Rand lock is probably far more than the incremental value of many other things that you could spend 50 Rand on, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's hyper individualized. Like, the value I get from my Apple Watch is amazing. And the killer app for that is just being able to go for a run and leave my phone at home and stream podcasts. Now, that's not something very many people would probably want to do. And most people are thinking watch, running, you're tracking your stats, like, eh, sometimes for fun. But the killer app is actually, I don't have my phone with me, yay. And I can listen to podcasts. And if the family needs to get hold of me, they can, because you can still call me. And AirPods are part of that mix as well. I feel like this is just turning into one giant advert for AirPods. Although that's a good example of something I didn't know existed and didn't think I needed. And then when I had a pair, I was like, how have I ever lived without this?
But I mean, again, like, I think the Apple Watch for you, it's something that makes running 5% more joyful for you. And therefore you probably
50%.
Run 5% more often, you know? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
way
that's,
more
that's
than
a
5%,
worthwhile
I'd
investment.
Say.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what are some of the other things that you've discovered, if there are any, that their value just vastly outweighs what you paid for them or the time you spent on them?
What a great question. I mean, the first thing that comes into my mind is I have this hat. It's a frog hat. So it has these two little frog eyes on it and little frog feet. And it is objectively the stupidest looking thing in my entire wardrobe. And I own many
stupid looking
things.
Thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it cost, I think, $50. It's green. It's super cheap. So you can like fold it up and bundle it away. And it gives me so much joy when I wear it. Like, it is probably the single item that cheers me up the most when I see it. It like vastly outsized impact on my mood, that stupid frog hat. And it's very useful to have a hat, you know, that you can like just crumple up. And I did once, I used to own a very fancy like safari hat for hikes, for serious hikes, like serious people. And I found that this little frog bucket hat was kind of actually much more useful because it's with me more often, because you can crumple it into a thing. I don't know. Is there anything that comes to mind for you?
I will say that there probably isn't a kitchen utensil I own that I that I regret buying. Yeah. They just, whether or not I use them once a year or once every 10 years, they all bring me a lot of joy. But I guess that's because I spend a lot of time in the kitchen mucking about and experimenting.
You're such a good cook. I'm sad that anyone listening to this can't experience your cooking.
I mean, thank you. That's high praise. I don't know that I am, but I certainly enjoy it. And so I think there's also something about leaning into those areas of your life that you do enjoy to go like, I could buy endless hardware and other equipment for my work that wouldn't really add to it. And I'd probably just regret wasting the money on, whereas anything I buy for the kitchen, I'm like, fine.
Oh my God.
I'm happy it's here.
Again, this is where I have like a problematic degree of like hyper minimalist tendency, because like my ideal kitchen setup is like one knife, one cast iron pan, and like I just want to own like three items, but I want those items to be the most multi-purpose, multifunctional things. It is like a constant fight that Matt and I are having, because he has a normal attitude to owning things, and I'm like, why must we own a toaster? You don't need a toaster. We have an oven. Why? What? What is this nonsense?
I mean, and we've discussed this before, I do tend towards that minimalism with most things, clothing, etc. Yeah. And I do love that satisfaction of having like one good Japanese knife that can just do anything. Yeah. But it's more like the potato ricer, the really good peeler. So it's about finding that one like best in breed of everything I need in the kitchen. Because, like, so you know, you need a grater. You're not going to do that with your Japanese
knife. You don't,
knife.
Simon. You don't. You need a knife. That's all you need. I think my ideal life basically is just, like, living out of a backpack. I think it, deep inside me, is actually, like, a problematic, like, fit, I own 100 items backpack person, actually.
No, I think you're like a survivalist who dreams of the zombie apocalypse, or like being sent into the woods with a hatchet and being forced to survive. I think for as long as I've known you, there's been this tendency to just like, I just be survivalist, Sam.
It's all I want. My current weird rabbit hole is I've gone down this rabbit hole of EDC is what we in the survivalist community call it, everyday carry. You know, it kind of shades into problematic Americans who are like talking about what weaponry can you carry on you quietly. But it's the idea of, if you carry, usually it's an Altoids tin, so you know, like little chewing gum or Tic Tac-y type things, like a little Altoids tin. What is the smallest survival kit you can fit? Can you fit an entire survival kit into an Altoids tin that you always have in your pocket? So if you're out and about and there's an apocalypse and now you need to survive, okay, you've got a whatever. So I'm currently in the process of assembling a little tiny Altoids tin.
Okay, hold on. You need to unpack your Altoid tin. For me, it would be a fisherman's friend tin, but same size, pretty much. Okay, so I've got an empty fisherman's friend tin. I've motored through all of my cherry flavored fisherman's friends. What am I putting in the tin, Sam?
Well, it really depends on kind of what you want it for and your context. So a lot of the online people, they'll have like, so I have a version of this in my hiking kit, which is like, it's a two tabs of acid, because then you don't care. It's the apocalypse.
Problem solved.
A tiny half.
And the rest is still full of Altoids.
Condom. No, it's actually, you'll have like, you know, you get this, these cords that you can use as a saw in an emergency. It is just like, it's essentially a wire, like one of those, something you can use to start a fire with. You know, like a space blanket is one of the things I have in mind. But the one that I'm assembling is actually more for like, okay, you're running around London and maybe you're in, I don't know, a situation where like there's a bomb on the underground. I hate that this, I just have anxiety basically is what I'm saying. I live with anxiety. And so I think about disasters a lot. And I'm like, okay, now I'm like stuck underground for 12 hours. What is the survival kit I need in this situation? Which is a more likely situation in London. So it's a book. No, I'm joking. But it'll be like I've got like a very small little pocket knife with lots of little gadgets on it.
That's a good one.
A lighter. I think a lighter is always handy.
Flint stick, come on. Lighters can get wet and stop functioning.
Yeah, you know. It's, yeah.
Apparently, yeah, what you want is a flint stick and a tampon, because if you pull a tampon apart, it's like one of the most flammable things in the world. That's like the ultimate fire starter. Tension. And they come plastic wrapped, so they fire, they're waterproof until you need them.
Yeah, yeah. I have plasters, which is honestly like one of the most useful things, and antihistamine. Yes.
Okay, antihistamine, two tabs of acid, some paracord. Two tabs of acid, paracord. Tender stick, tampon.
I don't know why I am this person, Simon. I just have anxiety, and having one of the Altoids tin seems like a fun challenge.
Hey, man, nobody ever regretted having a space blanket in their backpack.
I agree.
Useful for so many things.
Honestly, there is nothing in this entire world that gives me more pleasure than being out and about and someone is like, oh my God, does anyone have a whatever? And I'm like, hold my beer.
Guess
and
what?
Pull it out. And you're like, guess what? But the more obscure, the better. Like, does anyone happen to have a tiny Phillips screwdriver because my glasses are broken? Hold my beer. I do have a tiny Phillips screwdriver on me right now in my on tiny my utility belt. Bag, on my utility belt. Not, there is no pleasure on this planet that nothing makes me happier. I don't know,
Sam,
why I'm like
so
this.
Glad we're both going to Africa Burn this year, because when I need to tighten my sunglasses, I know who to
call. I'm here for you, baby. I'm here. That's all I want. I think basically I should have been born a lumberjack.
Basically. I think it's an inherent thing that we all have, like self-sustainability and knowing that we'll be okay in any situation. You just take it to the nth degree. Plus, you love an emergency. I've seen
love an emergency.
And also, like, the best person to have around in an emergency, because while everyone else is freaking around and running with their arms flailing, Sam is just on whatever the mission needs to be in the moment,
like,
and solving the problems. I have all
Thanks.
The emergency numbers saved, and I have a WhatsApp group with the police. Don't you worry.
Simon has already made friends with everyone and has calmed everyone down, and everyone is now having a beer and hanging out, and everyone feels fine and has realized, actually, you know what? There is, in fact, not an emergency. Everyone can calm down, which maybe in the grand scheme of things is a more useful personality trait.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, I love where that challenge took us, and I want to hear what challenge you got for me. But first, I want to hear about other awesome things you've discovered recently, if there are. I feel like I've squeezed all of the Sam juice out of awesome things this week.
Well, but. I mean, kind of just on the theme of survivalism, I think I have recently been rewatching a TV show called Station 11, which I'm just reminded of how I really think it is my absolute all-time favorite apocalypse show, because it is a TV show about hope fundamentally and about the resilience of humans. And it is the most hopeful and beautiful post-apocalypse vision, I think.
Station 11.
Yeah. It's based on
a wonderful book. I've never watched it.
It's fantastic. I really love it. Okay. It's about a flu that kills most of humanity, but 20 years after the flu, a group of people, it's set in this group called the Traveling Symphony, and they go around from settlement to settlement of the survivors and put on plays, because after the apocalypse, people still want art, they still want music, human culture continues. It's kind of very beautiful.
Love Where do story. We watch this thing?
It is on Lionsgate Plus, which you subscribe to through Amazon. It is annoyingly a whole separate.
So it's probably Prime. Oh,
yeah,
it's not.
But it
okay.
is. It's not Prime, but it's you get it through Amazon. But it's truly one of the most beautiful. And
I
it's,
might
it's
have
a good
to
thing.
Pirate this thing.
You might have to, unfortunately. And it is a great, like, a few years after COVID show to watch, because I think it's a great, like, it's also a great look at what pandemics, what surviving difficult times of upheaval does to people, but in
awesome.
A very hopeful and beautiful way. Yeah, strong.
I do love that kind of show, and I've been looking for a new one, so thank you. I will find it wherever on the interwebs.
What useful or lovely things have been in your life recently?
Goodness, a new garage lock? No, not yet, even. You'd be disgusted to find that. Every day I remind myself of this little challenge I could solve.
Simon.
I have been watching a show which is on Disney Plus, which is remarkable, called Shogun, based on the novels, which I haven't ever read, but which are apparently incredible. Think Game of Thrones in feudal Japan, sort of. None of the fantasy, like actual feudal Japan, but it is just the most beautiful, thoughtful, uncompromising show. Like, there's so many corners they could have cut to make it more digestible for a Western audience, and they have not. Like, deal with the fact that you're going to be reading subtitles all the time. And one of the things I found so profound is one of the characters is a translator. Well, there's a lot of translation between English and Japanese that happens in the show. And there are these nuances between what's being said in Japanese and in English and what the translator is telling the person she wants them to hear. And to bring that nuance in when, you know, you as an English speaker are watching this, to hear the English saying one thing and then see in English another thing being said in Japanese, that sounds confusing, but it makes sense if you watch the show. It's the language in it is just remarkable. It's beautifully shot. I think it's like 6 or 7 episodes in the time we're recording this podcast, so it hasn't been wound up yet, but I'm just enjoying every second of it. So that's been absolutely amazing. I don't know if you've seen this thing, but I highly recommend it.
Wow. I've only seen the pilot and it was lush. It was gorgeous. The reason I haven't watched more is because it's dropping one episode a week and I can't handle it. So I'm waiting until it's out.
No, it that does kill me. Yeah. But it just also is a reminder of, like, you know, having traveled to Japan, and sorry to any Japanese listeners, because I see it in the stats. We have a whole lot of them. there is kind of this... like a lot of my friends will come back from Japan and they'll say they can't believe how well-mannered everybody is. And I'll be like, yes, they are. But there's a little bit of a, like, we're tolerating you, so we're not going to go out of our way to explain our ways to you because you just can't understand them. And so it's more of a tolerance than a... Anyway, that aside, it's just a reminder of, like, how ancient the civilization... I mean, we're talking about the only country that's never successfully been invaded in the world, and this culture that just
Ethiopia would like a word, but
I just need to check my historical perspective there. This is what I've been told. I could be incorrect. Okay, Ethiopia and Japan. Whew, might have to edit that out. Anyway, moving swiftly along. The other thing, which is just not new at all, is my kid recently gave me back my PlayStation 4, which he annexed about 3 years ago. And I used this opportunity to play Red Dead Redemption 2, which I've been wanting to play for 4 years since it came out. And I played the original Red Dead Redemption, which was incredible. But Sam, I mean, if you haven't played this game, you're literally like a cowboy in the Old West, and you can shoot, skin, eat, like, just anything that moves. It's absolutely beautiful. So you're hunting, surviving, cooking, crafting, and committing all the crime you possibly can, because, you know, that's the other thing that you obliged to do in this
Grand Theft Auto Wild West.
Exactly. Grand Theft Horse. Okay. It's literally the same people who made Grand Theft Auto. It's Rockstar Games. Oh, that's funny. But it is just, it's so well done. It is a little bit irritating how they kind of force you into a life of crime perpetually. Like, you're just trying to catch a train ride somewhere, and the next thing you know, you've got all the sheriffs in the county looking for you. because you bumped somebody onto the tracks or whatever. But it's just been an absolute delight loading it up and immersing myself in... And there's something about cowboy country, Sam. It's always been an obsession.
I bet they all have little Altoids tins full of survival gear. I'll tell you that.
No. They have horse satchels with everything you can imagine, from lassos to 15 kinds of weaponry to
the rich man's Altoids tin
to the skins of many animals that this poor beast of burden is beladen with.
Oh, no. I got Matt a PlayStation for Christmas. We found like a secondhand one. And we have not had a console ever. And it has been delightful to kind of just discover console gaming as a 37-year-old woman. We have mostly been playing the Goose Game, which you can now play in two-player mode, talking Lovely. About going on a crime spree. It's just like you're a terrible goose running around a little English village causing havoc. It's delightful. Grand Theft Goose.
It's one of the best things that's come out in the last few years. Like, it's right up there with Stardew Valley. I mean, it's not as persistent as Stardew Valley, but it's...
Fascinating though, like this urge in all of us to go and commit crimes virtually.
That's what video games are for, man. Doing all the shit that you can't get away with in real life.
Wow, dark.
I mean, that's part of what they're for. Anyway. Okay, so what have you got for me for next time? For when we speak 5 years from now.
5 years from now, when we next speak again, when we are living in a post-apocalyptic hellscape, surviving out of our saddlebags. The question that I have been thinking about a lot recently is about, which is a perpetual question for me, obviously, is how we make money. So I've spent a lot of the last few years thinking about how we spend money, but I've recently been thinking far more about how we make money. So my challenge for you is I would like you to make 100 Rand, but in a method that you have never made money before. So I'd you to make 100 Rand, but doing something that is different to a product you've ever sold before or a service you've ever sold before.
Make I'll start bucks. A new meme coin on Solana, easy peasy.
But you have started coins before.
I haven't started them.
Oh, great. If you want to start a coin, that could
that would be a very current conversation that we don't have time for. But there's a thing happening in the world of money right now that's completely bizarre that you and I need to discuss another time. Anyway, wonderful. That aside, I like that. 100 Rand, we're talking like $5 here. So it's not
$5. Look, you can stretch goal. I initially thought I would ask for 1,000 Rand, but I think if, just make 100. Try not to commit any crimes. I am going to add that. Although, I mean, you know, that's up to you.
You know
I'll leave crimes or not crimes up to you.
Although but, you yeah, did say it's something bucks. That I haven't done before, so
and you have already done every crime.
No, I have not. Squeaky clean, ma'am.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Cool. So make 100 Rand doing something I haven't done before. I like that.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Not sure what the turnaround on this one's gonna be, but
well, let me know when you've made it when you can show me the money.
Okay. I look forward to reporting back and buy. I don't know what I'm going to buy you with $5, but I'll buy you something nice with the proceeds.
Please buy yourself.
Assuming I can actually manufacture them.
Please buy yourself a new lock for your garage, is what you can buy. I want you to make the money to buy a new lock for your own garage.
Cool. I'll find my previous challenge. Sounds great. All right, Sammy.
This has been fun. Thank you for a superb several months of hyper-focusing.
Well, thank you for everything that came from it. Let's not do this in 5 years' time. I'll try and resolve it more quickly than that.
Okay. I believe in you.
All right, Sammy. Thank you. I love you.
I love you.
Bye.